As you live through life, you learn a lot of things about life. And some of us is getting older. Some of us are getting older. And we're seeing things that, you know, that people had seen before us that we didn't, you know, that we talked about it, but we didn't realize it. And so as we grow older and age comes to us, we think a little bit different sometimes. And we think about things maybe like our parents did or our forefathers as we grow older. And we have times that we can experience that. But it's good to see you this morning, and I hope I can uplift you. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 John in verse 4, I want to read this morning there, starting in verse 7. But the Bible is full of knowledge. It's full of the knowledge of right and wrong. It's full of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's full of the knowledge of what God wanted us to know. And sometimes we might spend too much time on what sin is and not enough time on what God is. Sin's bad. And the older that we get, and the more that we live, we see how bad sin is. But we need to know how good God is. We need to know how much God loves us. And we need to remember in every sermon about sin, as long as there's today, that God loves us. And as long as there's a time that we can have a change of heart or repent, God's waiting. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. In our reading this morning, 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7, Brother John lets us know, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might through him, herein is love, live through him, here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath looked to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." When you come to worship on Sunday morning, and no matter what sermon you hear about how evil is, and your brother and sister in Christ, and you know what evil is, you need to reflect upon the love of God. God is the big picture. And God's love is the big picture. I can't think of how much I've reflected on this in the last few weeks. That we need our young kids, and it's so important to teach the babies that in Christ Jesus from a young age that about that love. The Sunday school room should be filled with of God's love. Because God loved. Now watch this. Now God's love, it was saying, is the grease that makes the wheel go round. Nobody's going to stay a Christian. Or nobody's going to endure the hardships of the world without the love of God and knowing the love of God. No one's going to be able to tackle and successfully run the race of a Christian unless they're taught about God's love. And God's love is a motivating factor for a Christian. It's the motivating factor. I've heard men say, well, I become a Christian because I didn't want to go to hell. A good friend of mine, an older fellow, because they used to preach fire and brimstone. People were scared. But some of us want to dwell with God and that great love he has. Want to be in a place of love with a loving God so merciful and so great. The Bible teaches us, if you turn to Genesis, and we'll go back there to Genesis chapter 1, And look at a few things. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I can't help but read and look and think about when God said, this is good. And it was good. But this is what God said. And this was good. And when God says something is good, it's good, brothers and sisters. It's good. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea and the fowl, the air and the cattle, and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Of the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowl of the air. Over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and the which is fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When you think about why this earth was created, and the purpose of this earth, and every living creature of the air, and the fowl, and the beast of the field, and the trees bearing fruit, who was that for? It was for us. And why did God do that? God gave man everything that he needed. And it was good. And it wasn't because man deserved it. But we were his creation. And it was good. And God loves you. God loves us. God loves us immensely. You know, we don't convey that. And sometimes we look and we read through the scriptures. And when we're reading through the scriptures, We kind of read through there and we'll start reading about sin, and then we'll get to the this, and this is the righteousness of God, and we'll keep on and past that and get to sin without stop and dwelling on that. And in every part of the Bible, there's a part where God is righteous, and God's righteousness is going to save mankind. For him that believeth in God. But no man's going to believe in God if he don't learn to love God. You can think about the Pharisees and the time when Jesus came, and you can think about what went on. And what was said this morning in class, that they sought it by works of the law, by their doing. They didn't love God. They crucified his son, and they didn't love their family, neighbors. They left out justice and mercy. When we read about love about God in the Bible, if you go to Vines and you start looking at that, you know, it's kind of said before that every word in the world can't express justly the love of God. That's what theologians have said. In verse 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God in Genesis formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And that was to go along that God planted a world and put man in it. I can't help but read that and think about that has to be love that done that. That has to be love. God gave life. I ain't never, or I haven't ever, there's teachers in here, had never seen somebody not look at a baby and look at their fingers and want to rub their skin. And look at their head. There are some evil people, but this is what normally happens. And I just wonder sometimes, and I just think about, wonder how God feels about that. If man feels that way and women feel that way about a baby. And seeing the joy of the little kids, I love to see them. Especially when they're that young age, and you know, 3 or 4. Man, it brightens my day just to watch them. Just to watch them move and think. And I wonder what God thinks, because God created us out of love. The Bible's been called the greatest love story ever told. I hope you see that. And I hope you, when the preacher's speaking and teaching you about what evil is, I hope you realize that God, behind all that, is loving you. We grew through a young age and an older age, and we need to learn that God's love is there for us. And that we can reach out for God's love long as every day is here. But we need to remember God loves us. And he wants us to love each other. Well, one thing about what Vines says about love is that it kind of represents, like Charles was explaining this morning, it represents a relationship of a husband and a wife. But it represents the perfect relationship to a husband and a wife. And Vine says that love can't be expressed about God without using some other words. Loving kindness, righteousness, mercy, and so on. When you read in the Bible, sometimes you'll see the word love. But it'd be explained by kindness or righteousness. It can't be explained with just love. And when you look into the Bible and you see mercy, that word in places can be turned around and word love can be put in there. I don't have much time this morning, but if you look in Psalms 136, and you see what God says about, the psalmist says about God, in Psalms 136, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You could say His love endures forever. Those words are interchangeable in parts of the Bible, but that mercy expresses what kind of love that's being shown. Of one of great strength and power that has kindness. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. And oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made the great lights, for His mercy endureth forever." And it's talking about God and His great works in the creation. And if you put mercy or love in there, as far as it can show you how much love that He had that endured. For His love endureth forever. And we as children of God or Christians know that there's going to be a place of forever. But I wanted the teenagers and the young people especially here, that when as their transaction and their times through life till they reach certain ages is that life is hard, I want them to know God loves you. And there's nothing that you can go through that you're going through that ain't of this world and that God don't know about. That He knows it's a man. God loves us. 1 John 4:8 said, "For God is love." I wanted to express this morning about that great love. It's expressed 240 times in the Old Testament. It's most allotted to Psalms, but I wanted to remind you, when you read in the Old Testament and you get to somewhere and you see love and mercy and kindness, stop for a minute, okay? Reflect on that. Because you're going to read about what men did and men's evil ways, but you need to reflect on God's goodness and God's righteousness. God's love should always be remembered unto His children. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, it says God's love constrains us. And it goes on to talk about other things, but God's love does constrain us. Because the Bible, as Charles said, that we are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one thing I wanted to show you this morning is that God is love and God is light and He's full of love and He always loves you. As long as there's today, God loves you. But I want to tell you something. When I was thinking about this and then we got to thinking about, you know, Jesus and what He's saying. In John chapter 3, and Jesus said this when He was in the Pharisees had come, you know, to test Him. But He made a great statement, He made a truthful statement, and they were trying to tempt Him. But in John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said this, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," no, that's John 3, John 3, 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, it's Matthew 22 that I was going to read, but we'll stay right there. I'll tell you about it. As Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 22, when they came to it, and they said, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And he said, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this, all the prophets and the law hang. And that sums up all of it. Love. When you sin, or you commit a sin, or I sin, we do one of two things. We sin against the God of heaven and the Creator, or we sin against our neighbor. And when the Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I know that for people that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says a lot of people say receive Christ. But I know this, when I look at the Bible talking about the love and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I don't think nobody can do and live a perfect life. Somebody's going to pass a neighbor or overlook a neighbor or not going to give a neighbor what they would give themselves. They'll try. But it's like when Charles said this morning, who's your neighbor? Who is who you see? And then Johnny was talking about that, you know, he helped somebody that tricked him. And I've thought that way before when I go through these truck stops and I've come in and there's always somebody there that's sitting that's traveling or homeless or And I thought to myself, I said, Sam, you're going to walk by one day and not give somebody, you're going to do wrong. As long as you've got something to give somebody, give it to them. Because you ain't going to give them enough. If I give them $20 and I got $100 in my pocket, did I treat them as I treat myself? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And all this hang the prophets. Well, I've had to speed my sermon up a little bit. I was going to preach at night, but Brother John's just going to do that, and I didn't want to. I had to kind of just speed through a little bit. But I want you to know something that in John 3 that I started reading, and said John 3:14. It said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's what we were talking about. How much God loved His creation in this world. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you that when God sent the flood on this world in Moses' time, I cannot imagine the evil that was in place at that time, and we're still alive today. It must have been so bad to make God do something like that. Worse than any man knows today. They must have been bad. Mean. And God is light. And God is good. God's not about any of that. God's about love, for God is love. Thinking about this and seeing the brothers and sisters in here, I just wanted to tell you, and I wanted you to remember that every sermon that you hear, if you're walking in the light, as He is in the light, then the blood of Christ continues to cleanse you. If you're trying to do better and trying to learn and grow and love one another, love your neighbor, then the love of God is in you. But if we don't know love, we don't know God. It's what they're reading once. You know, it's It was a good learning experience for me. I got a lot. There was a lot more. You can't just merely talk about the love of God, because it started at the foundation of the world, and it's still going right now. Because God loves you, and He wants you to be saved. And God wants you to learn of the righteousness and goodness. And when you go to school, somebody treats you bad. It's because the love ain't in them. But if you want to know about God and want to understand why people are Christians, and you want to know what makes Christians, and you want to know what keeps people as Christians, it's called the greatest love story ever told. It's right here. And we need to hold that in place, because we read a lot of bad things in here. But we need never let go that God loves us. And He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's love toward Jesus. It's God's love to the world. Have faith in Jesus Christ. He said, Mark 16:15, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because you know what? That's a start to learn love of God. Because people are starting to see that God is good. And when you're baptized into Christ, there's remission of sins. Because He is a propitiation of covering that we read in John. He's covered for our sins. So that's great. That's a great love story. So every time you come, in the back of your mind, when we're learning about what sin really is, you got to know what love really is to keep the wheels greased. If you're not a Christian this morning, we got a song that we're going to sing, and it's a time that we always open up to somebody that wants to receive the love of God in Christ Jesus. They make a confession of Christ, and they're baptized into Christ, and they begin a covenant relationship with God. Remember, we talked about that marriage. And that's sort of what a Christian life is a covenant relationship with God. And God takes care of us and watches over us. And He's prepared a place for us. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?